Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
Don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Did I remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
All right. Welcome to Ask Kathleen. We're doing Esprit.net News from Ask Kathleen. We have on the line, of course, Kathleen. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Jerome. How are you?
I'm good. And on our roundtable, we have another media person, Finesse, on the line. What's up, Finesse?
Hey, what's going on, Esprit? Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, Finesse. It's great to hear your voice.
Now, you know, as we do the show, we're going to invite people to call in, area code 909-265-9189. This is kind of after the show of our week's worth of news. So we'll cover some news stories, and some we probably won't, but we're going to tear up Kathleen. Although Kathleen's here today, we're going to tear up on Ask Kathleen. You know, every time I remotely guest host on Kathleen's show, I feel like I can just tear up. I feel like the teacher just left the room and we can just say what we want to. So all cussing is all allowed on at. I'm just joking. If I want to get out. I'm just saying, it's after midnight.
Forget
anyway, so
my switch, Jerome.
Oh, yeah, we can't. Okay, never mind. Never mind. So, you know, there will be no hitting of switches today. We got to leave that alone. What'd you say, Vanessa?
I just said,
I know. Look at her you know, Kathleen's regulating today. Now,
you know, well, Kathleen's been gone for 2 months on vacation. I wish I could live large like that.
I know. You know, she's like on a, I think she was hanging out with Romney because he was off the campaign trail as well. So, been to any nice fundraisers lately, Kathleen? Want to tell us about?
You know, I have to go undercover to campaign for the Republicans.
and speaking of that, let's just go to one of our roundtable discussions of the night. Is Mitt Romney's NAACP speech that he did just the other day. Now, for those who did not hear it, I know Finesse and I actually listened to the speech, but one of the things that came out after his speech is that he flew some black folks in, kind of VIP black folks in, to kind of encourage him to get the clapping started to look like the NAACP was supporting his agenda. So that's why, since Kathleen was missing, she didn't know anything about that, Finesse.
You know, that's what you get when you go undercover working for the Republicans.
She just showed
and
up.
Just in case anybody is listening, I do not campaign for the Republicans. This is a joke, everybody. I am voting for,
you know,
by my president, Sir Barack Obama.
I could have sworn I saw you in that video clapping for Mitt when he came out.
He was like,
sorry.
Wait, we're going to try to, if anybody has it on DVR or you can point out Kathleen,
oh, stop
please,
it, you guys.
Please keep that to yourself, because we can't really have that out there. Even if somebody looked like her, don't do it.
I am hardcore dreams.
You know Mitt Romney ain't use no dark-skinned black folks, so.
Oh, well, okay, well, we're all out. I'm out. Finesse, you out?
I'm definitely out.
I'm out too.
Okay, well, that's it. Unless Kathleen has a twin someplace, Kathleen's going to be out as well. So,
and we'll, my hair is natural. Come on.
Oh, no, Mitt Romney's not going for that.
No, not at all.
I think on his, he at least have like a hairdresser kind of, what do you call it? Like, he's going to have like Alberto VO5 on there. Like, there ain't going to be no products for you.
Well, he looks like the skinny version of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
You know, he does,
he really.
Really
does.
I didn't even think. Yeah. Now let's go into this. Now he stands in front of the NAACP to give his speech to their national convention. So as Mitt Romney goes, he says a speech. He gets to a point where he says he wants to repeal Obamacare, and the crowd starts booing. And so he looks at the crowd, and it throws him off of his speech where he says, I can't quote him on what he said specifically because he wasn't really coherent to begin with, but he does not flow with his speaking. But he said that and other programs that wasn't working, he's just going to get rid of them. So while the speech was going on, of course, there was sporadic clapping, but just like we said, he flew black folks in from other areas into that convention who were not members of the NAACP at an NAACP convention. And after the interview, he said that he met with some black leaders who agreed with what he was saying, but he didn't say he brought the people who agreed with him, for one. And next, after the hoopla was made about the NAACP booing him, he said something like, Vanessa, I don't know if you can recall this, but he said something like, if you want something free, vote for the other guy.
Yeah.
Now, that was a racist thing that threw me.
Yeah.
Because,
well, I think Mitt Romney was doing his part by flying in or having these black people there that could clap. He was doing his job to help bring down the black unemployment rate that he kept bringing up when he was there. So, kudos to Mitt Romney on that.
First of all, I wouldn't think that he brought no poor black folks with him. That wouldn't be my guess.
So, they have a day labor around there, and he needed some people to make himself look good. So he did something.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys fill me in on this now. He said, if you want something free, vote for the other guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is supposed to mean what?
That means black folks are ungrateful and they only want free stuff. That's why they didn't like him. So vote for Obama because you'll get something free from him.
And he right. said that at, he said that when? Now, what?
No, he said that after he left. When he was in a safe room with white
got
folks,
it.
He
got
said
it.
That about the NAACP.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, but you guys did just say that he was still amongst a group of black people when he said
it. Oh, yeah, he went in front of the NAACP, and he started, he went through his whole campaign, prepared campaign
rhetoric,
speech, what he says, yep, and he says he's going to kill Obamacare. As soon as he said that, it was a wrap. Well, nobody paying attention after that. And it was already half empty anyway because somebody forgot to inform Mitt Romney that black folks don't support the NAACP either.
see, I'm not gonna jump on NAACP tonight. I got plenty of time for that. But let me say this. He was in a safe crowd of black people and still tried to he poked them. You know, NAACP, out of all the organizations you can go to where there's black folks, or predominantly black folks, they are pretty much the watered-down version of civil rights generally, to me, right? They're watered down, and they are not going to put up any fire. So they politely, when they announce them, they clap. They try to be nonpartisan because as a 501c3, you cannot have any political leaning. So if you invite one side, you have to invite the other. So
right.
They invited Romney. He, Bush didn't show. None of the Bushes showed. And McCain didn't show. So they figured, hey, let's invite Romney. Now, Romney, who has a bad problem in polling with the president, figured he'd go. And I don't know in what world of strategy that he actually thought it was a good idea to tell black folks you guys are pretty much draining the system. I mean, he talked about education and saying we need education reform, and he went to this great charter school and that we need to encourage charter schools so that your kids can go to any school that they want. Now, right? So what did black folks hear finesse when he said that?
Black folks didn't hear nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry, because he said that after. He messed up.
Once he said Obamacare, it was over. No one paid attention. They were booing him. I think some people ended up leaving. I mean, it was and literally, the place wasn't that packed in the beginning. The only thing that Mitt Romney just did, he just pushed black folks to, even though they were on the fence, to straight vote for President Obama. And I saw one of the political strategists after that speech say on the news, probably 90% of black America is going to vote for President Obama.
Well, you know, go ahead, Kathleen.
Well, and they didn't think that was going to be the case before he gave that speech?
Well, because there were a lot of people that were complaining. A lot of people are looking at, they're trying to point out to the unemployment rate. They're trying to say this and that. You still got the Goofuses, Tavis Smiley, and Cornel West out there. So you do have some people that have people's ears. But, you know, with these people that shoot themselves in the foot, all you got to do is let Mitt Romney talk, and he's going to shoot himself in the foot. From all of a sudden backing a bill to not backing a bill. He's going to go in front of black America, and he's going to say to the NAACP, I'm going to cut Obamacare when 100% of black folks need health care. He's going to play himself. He's going to play himself out. No one has anything to worry about, but when you see the video clip, and then you got, you got the John Stewart, you've got ABC News, CNN News, you got everybody just blasting his cat. He just did a major mess up. His better thing he could have did, and I think Rome will agree, he should have went there and did a question and answer thing, and try to win something. Instead, he put his foot in his mouth.
Right, because generally you always, and just as a strategist generally, you speak to the crowd. You don't press your agenda on your crowds. So every campaign that I've been involved with, I know the candidates will normally come to me and say, what am I supposed to say? What room is this? Literally, they would say that for any event. I don't care if it's a fundraiser or whatever, but you craft your speeches to your audience. You don't say, hey, have you been watching regular TV and Fox News? This is what I'm about. You have to have an agenda for the room that you're speaking. So I'm sure when he goes and talks to the Anti-Defamation League or whatever Jewish entity, he is not going to say anything positive about Palestine, like, for example, because it's not what he's going to cater to them. You do that to your room. But for black folks, the arrogance, especially of racist black folks, the arrogance is, I can tell you what to do, and ain't a doggone thing you can do about it. And there's a reason I am being so, like, exact about this, because that wasn't a mistake. Once he got booed, he showed his true colors.
Yeah.
All bets were off for him. His decorum left him.
So he got more arrogant once they booed him.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
He had that whole smug, well, and he said at the end of his speech, Kathleen, get this part. He said, if you want a president, the best president for the black community is me. Is me, and you're looking at him. Is what he said. Who says that?
Mm-hmm.
Who says
that's like President Obama going to a Klan rally, saying he's gonna cancel white sheet sales, and then telling them to vote for me because he's the best thing for them.
And being arrogant to say, look at me because I am your new king.
Right.
Literally, that's what he said. So
the best president for you is me, and you're looking at him?
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. He said, to go back to grade school,
it sounds like.
Well, I'm misquoting him, but he said you're looking at him. The best person for president for the black community is me, and he's, I guess he made a comparison of the two, saying you're looking at him as he was still kind of on stage, as people were like, what the, they probably was cussing out too. Look at it, they didn't have any mics in the audience.
Yeah.
Well, we should check YouTube on that one because I'm sure some people are cussing out.
So why does he feel? I mean, of course we know why he feels that, because he wants to win the election. But what did he offer the audience to convince them that he was actually the best president? Because you need a father, and you don't know that you don't brief
don't
up,
do that,
and that's what you really want. And we need somebody to beat you people back into reality.
What he did was. He basically offered his same campaign speech that he has been saying, and he started off with the Obamacare, which I couldn't believe. That should have been the last thing, but he didn't have the advisor or publicist or whatever. He came right out, started doing his speech, said, and if I'm elected, I'm going to get rid of Obamacare. Now, I don't understand. Maybe he's Stevie Wonder. He didn't see where he was going. Maybe, you know, he rode the short yellow bus so he don't comprehend. I don't know, whatever it is. But Mitt Romney shot himself in the foot.
Right. Now, more than that, he actually stood up there and lied first. So while we're talking about this, I just want to remind everyone, you're listening to Ask Kathleen. We're doing a special version of Esprinet News on Ask Kathleen. And you can call in area code 909-265-9189. And, you know, we have some folks online, so if you want to raise your hand up and get in on the call, we will definitely bring you in. But I want to start off by saying whatever he said, I'm not going to repeat it, but let me give you some numbers. Federal spending has grown at its slowest pace in 60 years under President Obama at 1.4%. Reagan was 8.7 his first term, and H. Bush in his one term was 5.4. Clinton in his first term was 3.2. And George W. Bush was 7.3% of federal spending. That's what it was. And under President Obama, it's the slowest pace in 60 years. Okay. Fact two, under President Obama, annual federal spending, taxes, and the budget deficit is down from the time that he took office. So at no time did it go in the other direction. It went down. And just in case you listen to Romney's speech, we're just going to give you the facts and not the stuff that he was saying. Healthcare reform is paid for, and it reduced the deficit by $150 billion. And over the next 10 years, $3 trillion, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. Kathleen, you were saying?
No, I just laughed because you said we're going to give you the facts, not the stuff he was saying.
Right. We're not going to go through that. You know, so even as he talked, you know, we want to talk about, you know, Social Security. Social Security has a $2.7 trillion surplus. $2.7 trillion sit in Social Security right now. Now, when Republicans start telling you that it's raining, when you see the sun's out, there's always a problem. So Mitt Romney literally went to the NAACP, told, you know, mixed these numbers up, was looking crazy before he even said that about Obamacare. And we all know that that's a slam against the president because it's the Affordable Health Care Act. That is slamming him, opposed to saying that we don't want affordable health care.
Right.
You know, so that's what he... That's where he was wrong.
Here's the thing with this election. This election is coming down to just one thing. It's the haves and the have-nots.
That's right.
And that's all it is, because what the Republicans are doing, they want to keep it status quo. They want the poor to keep, you know, be begging for money and handouts. They don't want to help out. They don't want to pay taxes. What this comes down to is, who do you believe? Do you want to see a country that's fair? And it's to have or have not.
Right.
So that's all it is.
Right.
Is it every election?
Not like this, because you have a president, as Esprit has pointed out over the last 3 or 4 years, you have a president that has done more than any other president. He has, you know, done what he has with a Congress and a House that fights him every step of the way. Even people in his own party have fought him every step of the way, because they want things to be as is, and he's trying to bring this country as to what it should be. So it's between the haves and the have-nots.
Right. So if you're listening and need some fire, U.S. import oil at a 16-year low under this president. President Obama has the fewest recess appointments. Teddy Roosevelt had 160 in one afternoon. Reagan had 243. George W. Bush had 171, and President Obama is 29. That's all he had in recess appointments. And just looking at the numbers, like you said, Furness, we know that President Obama has the best legislative record since Lyndon Johnson, right, in just the amount of legislation. And the U.S. economy was shrinking at 6% a year, and it now grows at about 2% a year, which is one of the most dramatic turnarounds in our lifetime. So just knowing that, you would think that it would be hard to just blatantly lie when you go out on the campaign stump, but they think they're on Fox News all day. So it's interesting to stand to watch.
And in all fairness, Black America does not read. We wait for somebody else to tell us something instead of going to investigate for himself, because it's still interesting that you still have these historically Black colleges still complaining, talking about this president doesn't care, not trying to help them. And he full well, he's passed several bills to help them get money.
Yeah. Yeah, and matter of fact, I think we talked about one of them from before that he passed. First of all, the president, the White House has an Office of Urban Affairs, which it never had. He put it in 2009, so there was access for urban communities to access the White House. He has an office for that directly in the White House. But more importantly than that was the I guess it was an executive order that he put in 2009, and it was an executive order for historical Black colleges and universities promoting excellence, innovation, and sustainability. The initiative worked with all executive departments, agencies, offices, and private sector for educational association, philanthropic organizations. These are all for HBCUs to provide the highest quality of education, and to help them in their grant making to get federal grants. And as a result, I think it was Morgan State has that received last year or the year before last, the largest government grant was it was from NASA. The largest government grant in HBCU history was last year. And that is part of what you're talking about, Furness, is that even though he did this in 2009 and did the executive order to do private public partnership for just specifically HBCUs, to not know that should be a doggone crime when you're going to complain that he didn't do anything for Black schools.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's so much they've done, you know, from talking to people with their credit cards and not getting scammed to, you know, from the Obamacare. It's just been so much. But when people, and especially us, Black Americans, we don't read, you can get duped into everything else. So it's going to be interesting over the next 4 or 5 months to see what Black media does, like Tom Joyner, Mr. Michael Bates. Are they going to be as enthusiastic as they were to get President Obama in? As are they going to be to keep him in the White House? Because it's the second term that's important. The first term is always turmoil, but it's the second term where a president can really do something and really put his stamp on his legacy and on the country.
Now, honestly, I think that's where the Republicans are trying to use fear, saying if you don't know what he did now, wait till his second term. And that's the funny thing, is that they're using fear factor on the Republican side just to try to, to try to throw everybody. So,
their only fear is they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay their full share.
They don't
want to have to get up off their money. They don't want to pay their full share.
Well, you know, it is still a concept, and I would go through all the Facebook messages and all of those social media things that I saw over the last day or so with the Romney stuff, and there are people who There are people who don't like LeBron because he's good. There's people who don't like Michael Jackson because everybody else likes him. And there are people who just hate the popular guy. And so you will see a lot of resistance in people saying, I'm not going to vote. He didn't do anything for us anyway, whether he did it or not, just because other people like him. So I think you kind of run up against that type of thing, too, when you're in office.
I think in anything, because there's just no pleasing everybody. There just isn't. There are always going to be people with this whole renegade mentality or not really looking deeply at the issues, or it really just doesn't please them. But what I wanted to... Oh, I had something you were just talking about, and now it has completely slipped my mind.
Uh-oh. That means
Finesse, what were you just talking about a moment ago? Because I said, let me jump in there and mention this.
I think I mentioned you on videotape at Mitt Romney's speech.
That was about an hour ago.
My bad. You know what that means? That means it is time for a break. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. You listen to AskBrenet News on Ask Kathleen. We're just doing a special edition with a little roundtable. We have Finesse joining in, and that will be columnist Finesse and the media. We're going to put you in the media mogul range in a minute, Finesse. And Kathleen, of course, the host of Ask Kathleen on Ask Kathleen, which is on Sundays, 8 o'clock Eastern Time. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of our special edition. All right, so stay with us.
My collection is made of all the things that make me. You can tell my block got bigger, but I always remember where I started. And it feels great to move forward without leaving yourself behind. From uptown to downtown, it's all part of my style. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, thanks to where I've been. My style tells my story.
Introducing the Jennifer Lopez Collection, only at Kohl's.
There are so many fun things we all can do to be healthier, no matter who you are or where you are. So let's move.
Well, here we go. We're getting set to get underway.
Let's stretch in the grass.
Great play.
Let's play tag.
What a play.
Let's jump up and down.
Oh, what a way to finish it.
And most of all, let's eat better so that we have the energy we need to play an hour a day every day.
Everyone can play. Just go to letsmove.gov to learn more.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Applebee's 2 for 20 is back and fresher than ever.
So, Dave, you and the wife at separate tables now?
Honey, it's my 2 for 20 club night.
I think it's my 2 for 20 club night.
So grab your 2 for 20 club and savor inspired new favorites like tender chicken fettuccine carbonara and garden fresh bruschetta chicken. Or go for a classic like our 7-ounce house sirloin. That's one appetizer, two entrees, just $20.
Mom, Dad?
It's the freshest 2 for 20 yet, only at Applebee's. Now serving half-price appetizers late night.
All right, welcome back to AskBrenet News on Ask Kathleen. We're sitting here bouncing around on the Mitt Romney stuff of speaking to the NAACP like you don't have no sense. But more than that, you can join in. Area code 909-265-9189. I don't know why I'm playing Shake Your Moneymaker to this. But anywho, let me give you a news story we talked about earlier. We're going to go back to the Romney stuff in a second. But you know, we did a story about Michael Jackson, and the story is, it's not about Michael Jackson, but Spike Lee is in the final stages of completing a Michael Jackson documentary. The legendary filmmaker is in the later parts of his post-production on the project. It will focus on the Bad album, the world tour, and the video to celebrate the 25th year anniversary of the song, which was recorded in August of 1987. And they're going to talk about They Don't Really Care About Us and that short film that actually Spike directed. You know, he directed that one. And he's going to talk with some of the confidants, the choreographers, collaborators, and musicians who worked on the record. So I'm looking forward to that. In September 17th, there's going to be a 25th anniversary of Bad, which will also, they're also going to release a package featuring 3 CDs, 2 collectible booklets, and the first ever authorized DVD release of Michael Jackson's concert at Wembley Arena, July 16th, 1988. All right, so thanks for joining us and sticking with us. I am going to bring back in Kathleen and Finesse. You know, I had to get all of that out of my system first. How are
Michael
you, Kathleen?
Michael Jackson CD for $1,000.
Say that again?
Michael Jackson CD, all of that for $1,000.
That's how much it costs?
I'm just saying.
I was like, what? You know, because we know Michael's estate is still probably worth a lot of money. I don't think the kids are still even seeing too much from that. Now, you know, you said you were going to be interviewing Spike Lee at some point, right?
Yeah, August 6th.
August 6th? Yeah. All right. So if I can convince Kathleen, you know what, you and I, speaking of this, with Finesse, you can check out Finesse's columns on soulofsyracuse.com, my columns there. We're going to have put a link to Kathleen's columns she's doing for at some other place. But anywho, since we're on Kathleen's network, we won't yell about that today. I'll do that. If you listen
Republican to a Republican, and she writing for somebody else?
She writing for somebody who I'm about to bash. That's why I really want to say anything, which is really funny. So, I know. Poke. Hey, Kathleen, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Thanks for joining us on our show on your network. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
And you know, Finesse, you know what? We're about to cut a business deal live on the air. Finesse, what do you think about doing our black-on-black segment as a half-hour show or hour show on Ask Kathleen? What do you think about that?
I think we can make that happen.
We should just knock that out, right?
Yeah, we should knock that out.
Okay, let's ask the boss. Kathleen, what do you think about... what do you think about... facilitating having another show on your network is just me and Finesse tearing up. What do you think about that?
I'm doing the Carlton dance.
All right. Well, check back on Ask Kathleen. Check out her network on BTR. Go to Esprit Radio on BTR. We're definitely going to put that out there because we're going to make that happen because we can do it at any time and as long as we want, and we're just going to tear up. So we'll pick a day in the week. The day of the week, and make it happen. So I just wanted to put that out there. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, Finesse, because I know we need to knock that out anyway.
Yeah, we need to get back to that, and I think it'll be a good thing.
Yeah, so do I. And you know what? And I miss This Week in Court. Let me give a couple of quick This Week in Court stories. Minority applicants at the New York City Fire Department who failed discriminatory entry tests will get higher priority hiring and retroactive seniority in addition to the previous damages awarded of $128 million is what the federal judge ruled this week. So that was a good news story. And in Washington, digital television broadcasters will have to turn the volume down on commercials under a new rule that was adopted by the FCC earlier in the year. So you know how you are watching a show and the commercial come on and it's really loud. There's a rule that said that the broadcasters can't do that anymore. Now, another one in Washington, a federal judge upheld a U.S. Department of Health and Human Services final rule that recipients of Head Start grants must complete a new five-year grant if federal inspectors find a deficiency in their program. So you're not automatically getting your Head Start money if you violated some rules. I didn't really know they still had Head Start. That was my bad.
Wow.
I know that,
that's going to affect a lot of poor neighborhoods.
Well, you know, they cut Head Start in so many places that I don't know what that is all about, but I'll have to look into that story a little bit closer, because that doesn't sound like a good story. Like, you can get a violation, and I think what they're saying is the rule is that the recipients of the grants must complete like a five-year grant, like they're in block grants, so you don't have to apply for them every year. You can actually apply in five-year grants, but if the inspectors find a deficiency in the program, you'll have to complete a new five-year grant because they give them all in one shot.
Well, then what ends up happening is then some of these Head Starts are end up closing, because if it's a five-year grant and you make a mistake and you got to reapply.
Oh, right. You can lose it next year.
Right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's another way they've avenue they found to close some of these Head Starts. These Head Starts are very important in poor communities. They need that.
Right. So I'm gonna try to be positive on that a little bit, just to say hopefully they're gonna be responsible and not have, if they're serious violations, that's different. But hopefully it's not a petty violation that they can do that. I have to look into the ruling a little bit closer. Now, we were just talking about earlier, for those who were just joining us or gonna check us out in the archives and iTunes, we were talking about the Mitt Romney speech at the NAACP and how Mitt Romney literally, after being booed, became really arrogant and standoffish with the crowd as he talked about getting rid of Obamacare and, you know, just not liking how he played that back. So, Kathleen, you were saying on how will this affect the black radio or black, the folks that were helping out Obama, President Obama, when he ran the first time, like how is this going to affect their motivation, I guess is where you were going?
Yeah, because I believe it was Finesse who mentioned Tom Joyner and Michael Basedon, and they, in my opinion, played a huge role in his 2008 campaign. Steve Harvey did as well. They had him on the air quite a bit. They were working with the Get Out the Vote campaigns. They did a lot of grassroots on-air organizing. And for that reason, I feel that my personal opinion, and this isn't validated by anything that I've read, some things I've heard, but nothing I've read, that one of the reasons that Michael Basedon was taken off the air in one of the major markets, which is New York, had a whole lot to do with the fact that he was so involved in not only the president's campaign, but a lot of civil rights activities around the country. Michael Basedon's voice had gotten so big, you know, with the Genesis 6 and all these other events that came up, and he would really have some serious talk radio on with regard to these issues. So when it came to the 2012 campaign for the president, we were expecting Basedon to be heavily involved. And when I saw him at an event I went to not long ago, he said it was going to be time for him to pack up from the radio, but he would not do it before the next campaign. So he was intending to hold on to his seat, especially in the New York area, until this campaign was over with. And the next thing we know, that whole station was eliminated, and it is now ESPN Radio. Without
well,
as, Yeah, I won't even go there because I don't know who the hosts of the shows are. But every time I've listened to ESPN radio, which is just about every time I get in the car, I listen to it for a couple of reasons. One, because I want to hear the sports. But two, because I want to hear who is on that radio station now. And as far as I know, they don't have any black guys on there. They don't have any women, and they don't have any black guys on there.
Well, there's two fronts to this story, because I have this information, and I know. You're absolutely right about what happened with Bazin on one level, because he was at a conference that I will not name, and what he said was he was told by advertisers that he needed to tone it down. He didn't want to lose these advertisers, and he was going to tone it down. I lost a lot of respect because I was like, you got to be crazy. Now, Tom Joyner has been told that before, and Tom Joyner doesn't.
Right.
What happened with the radio station was this, and this is a whole other topic for a whole other time, but this is where it is. They have canceled black radio. Everything is pop. They want everything pop. The sound, the black music that you hear today is not black music. So what these Clear Channel and all these advisors are saying, it doesn't make sense to have a black radio station when we're always playing black music on our pop station. We're playing Lil Wayne. We're playing this and that. So why not drop these stations as a whole? Black media, black activists were not paying attention. They never thought they'd see the day when BLS or whoever it was in New York, they would not be without black radio. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, in addition to that, too, is a consolidation and the conglomeration of the large radio stations, you know, the Clear Channels of the world, and I can't remember who just bought out bought out BLS. I think it's a group that's owned by, it's not Magic's group. I want to say it's Magic Johnson, but I think it's someone else. And they brought up a bunch of radio stations, and they changed them, and they changed format. But this goes to a bigger picture. I'm not a conspiracy theorist generally. I'm actually a conspirator as a strategist. But I can tell you that with this voter ID law stuff and with the intentional dismantling of some of these stations by conservatives who are doing this, it's like watching MSNBC put on more conservative people on TV and taking Keith Olbermann off right after Comcast bought them. That was part of their condition. So when rich people got a hold of those stations, they got rid of very liberal people. And so it's interesting to watch this play out, that as the country becomes more liberal, people get more conservative in power, and they try to condense power.
And this is why I tell people they got to watch that video. And I've had her on my show before on the movie Disappearing Voices. Talked about the plight of black radio, and we talked about media, how important media is. You know, media is. We had the Tom Joyners, we had the Michael Bazin. They're still important, whatever markets they're in. They're still in some pretty big markets. They're just out of New York. But the problem is, all that is trickle down. So when I say black media, it goes from none to terrestrial stations to anybody who has an internet radio station to anybody that has a show on Blog Talk. That's, for me, that's black media. If you are if you are a black person, half black, whatever you call yourself, minority, it is your responsibility to bring truth. So no matter and bring truth, or whether you have a Republican view, a Democratic view, whatever view, but you have to bring some truth. So now it's your job to educate. And if you don't use this wisely, then everyone loses out. And they're really, and if you lose black radio, the reason why they're so gung-ho on black radio, they're not attacking Latino radio stations, attacking black radio, because that's where we get our information, just like they attack rap news. We would not know what's going on the West Coast if we didn't have Ice-T, if we didn't have NWA.
Right.
That was a way of us to tell what was going on. So if you cancel rap music, you start canceling black radio, we're not going to get these kind of news and information. We won't know what's going on.
Right. And, you know, and I also want to say, you know, just generally, is that as a community, we kind of set the trend in a lot of areas, whether it's in music and just general culture stuff. And I think with us kind of deferring to other folks, that gives an excuse on why that happens. Like if you look at the movie industry, for example, I can't remember what the numbers are for this past several years, but I think it was at least 1/4 of all movie tickets were minority, were black people. And and with that being said, you have to pool to go to black movies, and then that dollar value, like the amount of money that they make, will benefit. Else, if all of them still go to, you know, the, what do you call it, the mainstream movies that are out there, they'll never have any more black movies if they can still bring you to the movies.
Well, and here's the thing, that they purposely, and because I'm in the middle of this and I always fight, I'll give you a perfect example. Ice-T's movie.
Yes, documentary.
Documentary rather, won a Sundance Award. From what I've seen,
the title? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Ice-T's movie?
Yeah.
Something about rap music escapes me right now. I have to look it up while I'm talking. But the thing is, when that movie comes out, and they say at select theaters, they don't want to put it in the theater. They don't want you to know about that history. They don't want to talk about that. They'll push everything else. So if you're not getting black movies in the theater, they're saying, well, they'll go support and watch anything. So if you look in the 90s, when we had a great run of black movies, and then you go into you come in and you say, okay, thinking we're going to get all these rush of black movies, then we don't, because they don't want us to make that money. They don't want to hear our story, our voices. And I was just reading how one of the surprise movies this year was that movie Think Like a Man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're already working on a sequel, but the thing is, it wasn't that type of movie that gives that type of information. It's a little comedy. You know, you had a sprinkle on the white folks. Steve Harvey is accepted, so that's cool. But then you get somebody, if you, my man, Craig, he just had this movie. It went straight to DVD. It came out in April. It was Something About Friends. That's the title that escaped me. But it was better than the Steve Harvey movie. But the thing was, it was an all-black cast, a black director, black editor. So they do these kind of things, and if we don't pay attention or support, or we don't use our black media to get this stuff out, then they're going to do what they've been doing. They're going to push us out.
Right. And that's always the thing. Like when we talk about pooling resources and kind
of
just look.
Art of rap.
Yeah, I was looking at it. I just found it since you said that. When you look at our activities as far as buying power and all these other things, one thing that that will be good to quote is there was a recent study done a couple of weeks ago. And it talked about polling numbers because we're talking about voting and all of those other things. And in 1984, 69% of the voters of white uneducated voters voted in 84. So I'll say it again. In 1984, 69% of all of the voters were uneducated white voters. Now that number is 39%, right? And in 1984, the amount of educated white voters were 21% in 1984. Now it is 29%. Now the most important number for the rest of us goes like this. In 1984, the total number of voters that were minorities were 12%. Now that number is 26%. The demographic has changed across the board. That is why the Republicans don't want college students to vote. They want more uneducated people to vote because they play to the non-educated white voters because their numbers were so high. But it's so drastically different from 1984 to now that you're watching some drastic things happen, like you know, the voter rights, voter ID legislation and all of those other things. But one of the things that we have to keep saying out loud is that this stuff is just not done through happenstance. It's just not coincidental that these voting laws are coming up and people are trying to get restrictions on immigration and all of those things. So a part of our function as media people is to actually tell the truth, but more importantly is to highlight those things that you need to be paying attention to.
Right.
So yeah, without me rambling on about that, I know Kathleen, she's been a little, you've been a little quiet here. Kathleen, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm listening and learning, because I had I heard you say this the other day, and I also heard it something I was listening to. It was probably you, because I don't know where else they would report this. I'm sure it was you that I heard. I probably heard you say it on your show before, and those numbers are pretty shocking, you know?
Right.
To hear those changes, they are really pretty shocking, and it really makes sense as you see all these district lines changing and the aggressiveness around making sure that people are unable to vote. And I think a lot of folks are sleeping on that, that they are really very serious about this, trying to keep people away from the polls and trying to hide the ball when it comes to voting, whether it's in the primary or in the side elections, changing election dates and changing districts and lines and so forth here in New York. All of this is playing into that, you know, so they can have the seats that they need, and ultimately then be able to, if they can't prevent President Obama from taking office again, which I of course think that they cannot, at least they will have enough dissension in the House and the Senate so that they can immobilize him. At least that's the plan.
And that's their plan A, because they have no, I mean, their plan B is gone. They were trying to find somebody strong to run against them, but there's nobody. So you got Sarah Palin saying, you know what, I'm a pass. And you know she's egomaniac. And you had a few others who could probably give a good run if it was somebody else. They're not going to run this election and campaign and get burnt. They're going to win. So who do you have out there? Everyone knew how Mitt Romney was, and they were hoping that somebody else would rise. Even the Republicans don't feel strong about him. So their whole plan now is to disrupt the House, disrupt Congress, and they're going to try to win that seat so they can just, you know, oppose him, just like they did his whole first 4 years, is oppose everything that he brought in and just do chaos.
Well, you know, but that won't work, I have to tell you, after when he's reelected. And the reason that won't work as well is because the president, If the president becomes reckless, and that's why you don't want a president who's only looking at one more term, a reckless president can put a lot of executive orders in line when they know you're not going to pass thing into law. Once they do that, there's nothing that Congress can do. So
he didn't do it this term.
And he didn't do it.
He didn't do it this term because he didn't want to. It would have damaged him for a second term.
Right. So he was playing nice, and usually with the executive orders, he only did it because he knew he couldn't get certain things passed. The trick with executive orders is that the next president can actually take it out, like it's not etched in law. Whereas healthcare, you're going to need a higher majority. You just don't need 51%. You need two-thirds to repeal something. So those numbers are very difficult to do. That's why most laws don't ever get repealed in this country. They just put another executive order over it or another law over it, because it's hard to repeal laws after they get there. But the president will be able to do some things that he doesn't have to make any excuses for once he's in for a second term. So I think that is the problem, that he may just get reckless. Is that what people are complaining about? But
that's what they know. Like Kathleen said, they got to get control of the House. They got to get control of Congress, because they don't want that to happen.
All right. Yep. And you know, and I know we have about 5 minutes left in the program. We're scheduled a little longer just in case we ran over, but we just put an hour of show because I know we just need to yell about a few things. And just want to remind everyone you're listening to Ask Kathleen. We're doing a special Esprinet News after show, kind of on Ask Kathleen. We're here with Finesse and Kathleen. You can check us out. Check BTR, Google. No, don't Google anything. Ask Kathleen, Sunday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And, you know, Esprinet News is Thursdays, 11 o'clock. 11 p.m. Eastern, and you can check us out on Esprit. Just go to SoulSyracuse.com. I don't know, it must be late for me or something. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to also talk about, you know, while we're at it, I wanted to bring a sports thing up. Kathleen, are you with me on some sports? Can you hang?
I'm right there. Right.
Okay.
There. You can talk about Dwayne Howard with who? Jason Kidd? Who?
You know what? Because, you know, Finesse did a sports show, and I wanted to spend some time to talk about some sports with him. Now, we can go through that. We can go through the draft. But let's start off with the NBA champion, since I haven't talked to Finesse since then, about LeBron getting his ring finally. No, I shouldn't say that. About LeBron winning a ring. Finesse?
Well, you know, congratulations. I will say for the record, I did not want LeBron on my Miami Heat team. But, uh-huh. You know, he won a ring, and thanks to Dwayne Wade for being the true leader, captain of that team, you know, falling back, being that vocal leader, letting LeBron do his thing on the court, and then helping facilitate. So, you know, my Miami Heat did it again. We just picked up Ray Allen. We got Rashard Lewis to get a center. We're going to win again.
You know what, and I want to say it was in one of the press conferences that I saw with Dwayne Wade. I really appreciate how he described his reaction to LeBron. He said, when I came here, when we won, we made room for Shaq, and Shaq said, look, you need to do your thing. Like, Shaq was at a point in his career where he was like, you have all that energy, this is your team, and he said, I did the same thing to LeBron. So I thought that was pretty big of him to actually say, yeah, it's still kind of his team, but still, you know what? You need to do some work. Wow. And they didn't have any problems. I think last year in the Dallas series, though, honestly, that they were just being too nice. LeBron they were overpassing and all of those other things.
Well, LeBron didn't show up, and
I'm going to disagree with that. I'm going to disagree with that for two reasons.
He didn't show up in the fourth quarter. You can do whatever you want in the or three quarters. But the fourth quarter is where it counts.
You know why? Because if you look back, he was overpassing the ball. He kept saying, this is Dwayne's team. This is Wade's team. So he was literally deferring to Dwayne Wade. So he said, when I look back at the games, I did not play in the fourth quarter. He was passing the ball.
Right, and he should have played. And Dwayne wanted him to play. He didn't. And that's why Dwayne got on him this summer and said, you're going to play your game, not this
exactly.
other game. And he had to show up. And he did. Even though in the first two playoff games, he kind of sat back in the fourth quarter. And that when Dwayne went off on that coach and they went in the locker room and went off on him and the rest of the squad, that's when he started playing better.
Right. So I have to say I don't really fault Dwayne or LeBron for that because I know how that is playing on a team with friends. You do defer, and sometimes you just get over it and say, look, we're going to win. And whoever gets it, gets it. And I think that's what they did. And, you know, I am with you. With the addition of Ray Allen, Miami is going to be tough. They're not even tough to beat. They're going to win.
Well, I can't say that because the East is looking pretty good. You know, people keep talking about Dwight Howard. You know, he messed up. No, Dwight Howard didn't mess up because he'll opt out of it. He'll be a free agent no matter if he stays in Orlando or leaves, and then he'll be in Brooklyn. That's the approach that Brooklyn is taking is what the New York Knicks should have did with Carmelo Anthony. You ain't going to mortgage away your whole team for one player. They'll get him eventually. The Nets look pretty good. You know, you got to still throw in the Knicks. You know, even though the Celtics lost Ray Allen, they're going to look good because they got Jeff Green coming back, and they've added Jason Terry, who is good. So it's going to be hard to repeat, and if if Chicago can hang on until Derrick Rose comes back in January, it's still going to be a beast.
Yep. Hey, I agree. And we have a caller on the line. What, matter of fact, Kathleen, did you want to jump into that?
Oh, not into that, but I need for you guys to come back and do another show because I just got some news that the largest and most popular black bookstore in New York City is closing its doors, Human Bookstore. Unbelievable.
No.
So
What is going on in New York? You lose the
I am
radio
really
stations,
concerned.
And now you're
so
leaving
now
the bookstore?
Radio, no books.
It's right.
Pretty serious, so we're going to have to visit that, guys, another time.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay, well, we're definitely going to visit that. But in the meantime, we're going to welcome a caller on Espresso Distant FBNet News. You're on Ask Kathleen, caller 440. Welcome to the show.
Hi. First of all, I want to say congratulations and this roundtable discussion. We need more of this. Rome, this is Angel.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, yeah. Your boy Finesse told me to listen in, and I just wanted to say great talk.
Oh, I was going to say, did you know Finesse was on the line? But I'm glad he let you know. That's cool.
Yeah. And I wasn't going to say much. I was just going to pretty much listen. But when Finesse got on and started talking about Ray Allen, because I'm a Ray fan and I'm a Boston fan, so now I'm going to have to watch Miami. I'm not going to really be a Miami fan, but I follow the players. And there'll be other times where I can...
No, I was just going to say on that note, Angel, because this is good that we have a Boston fan because, you know, they keep saying, you know, things like people are going to be pissed at Ray Allen just because he left and he was a traitor and all that nonsense. And you're saying you're going to follow Miami because you like Ray Allen.
Yes.
Not that, right. Now, see, and I agree with that. You cheer for the
I
player.
I like Ray.
Huh?
I like Ray, yeah.
Yeah. So instead of, like, being a rabid fan about that, this is a business, and they were trying to trade Ray last year. You know,
they tried to trade him this year in February. They were trying to trade him. He and Rondo didn't get along, and that's why they were talking about trading Rondo, because they wanted to keep Allen, and they thought they were going to get Doc Rivers' son. So it's just crazy. But I tell you what, if Dwayne Wade leaves the Heat, I like Dwayne Wade, but I ain't going to root for him nowhere where he go.
Uh-oh.
You wrong for that. You supposed to root for your player.
You lead the Heat, it's a rat.
Uh-oh, we have a rabid Heat fan on the line.
Well, hey, look, my team was the Supersonics. They left. People kept saying, so you going to root for OKC? No, I ain't rooting for OKC. They ain't the Sonics.
They left. If they wanted you to root for him, they would have stayed in Seattle, huh?
That's right. Dwayne want me to wear his sneakers, he stays but in Miami.
Angel, we can't really yell at Finesse today. Finesse is serious about Miami apparently today. But I've always liked Ray, so I kind of like Boston because of Ray, but I never kind of liked Boston because, you know, we grew up during a time where Boston was not a nice place for people of color, if I want to use
exactly.
The political correct thing. So I never was really a Boston fan because doing the Bird, McHale kind of thing in the Lakers, they were really hating on the Lakers like they're hating on Miami. You know, like so people hate LeBron because they think he left that city more than it was about business for those guys when it comes to the players. So.
Now, it's funny you guys mentioned Boston, because Boston was the first team to ever have an NBA black player on the NBA squad that started. And that's why I like Boston, for that reason. And I love Ray Allen because he played for the Sonics. When he went to the Boston, I'm not going to front, I did cheer for him except when they played the Heat. But now that he's playing for Miami, he knows to follow Finesse wherever he go. He knows to go to the Heat.
Oh, please. I'm going to be nice. This is my first time. And, you know, I don't want to disrespect Miss Kathleen. Hi, how are you? So
Hi, I'm
just going to leave.
It's to hear your voice.
You know, we don't care about Kathleen. She's a Republican.
Here we go.
Kathleen is not Republican. And actually, I don't mean to blow out her water, but she did work for the Obama campaign last time, didn't you, Kathleen? So.
Oh,
you
my God.
You ain't working from Obama to
Mitt Romney. They had a Republican in this. Is that what you're saying for us?
Undercover Republican in the Obama house.
Oh, God. We're
not the only one.
Well, Kathleen, we're on Ask Kathleen. I'm going to try not to get finesse muted by Kathleen today. So.
You know I'm trying to find the mute button.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you were going. So there is no disrespect for Kathleen on Ask Kathleen today. But you know when you start talking about what do you think about the NBA draft? Now you saw that what's his name?
Anthony Davis.
Now I can't really get around the eyebrow honestly, but I'm just saying.
That'll be sure, son.
He has the unibrow. And you know what he said about that was he wants to keep it because it kind of distinguishes him from everybody else.
Well, he looked like Bert on Sesame Street.
See, I shouldn't have got finesse started on that. All right, well, in case you didn't see it, I'm sure there's plenty of pictures of Anthony Davis on the Internet. But he was picked up by – who was he picked up by?
By the New Orleans Hornets.
Oh, that's right, because, you know, I don't really pay attention.
Because, if I'm not mistaken, the worst team who had the worst record was supposed to get the first pick, correct?
Nah, they do lottery ball. If that was the case, the Bobcats would have got them.
Yeah, they go into a pool.
But the Hornets are owned by, wait a minute, what team is owned by the NBA?
It was owned by the NBA. It was owned by the NBA. The Hornets were owned by the NBA, but now they have an owner. Same owner that owns the Saints.
Right. He just recently bought them, and the Clippers is owned by the NBA.
The Clippers, right. That's right, because they want...
No, the Clippers are not owned by the NBA.
Not anymore?
No, they haven't been owned. No, they haven't been owned by the NBA in 20-some years.
No. It was a part of why they were complaining about Chris Paul is because the NBA had interest in the Clippers.
In the Hornets, not the Clippers.
In the Clippers. They still have interest in the Clippers.
It's the Hornets. Well,
it's the Clippers.
Because Donald Sterling owns the Clippers. He's the worst owner in the NBA. He's owned them for 20-some years. It's the Hornets. The NBA had an interest in the Hornets.
I don't know why the commissioner intervened in that, but they said it was because the NBA has interest in the Clippers, and they wanted to make sure that there was parity. So they think that the NBA sabotaged him going to the Lakers because they had interest in the Clippers.
Right, and trying to be cute. So let's just send him to the Clippers.
I'll let you guys do your homework on that. I'll let you guys do your homework on that because you know not to argue with somebody that produces sports shows.
No. And that's why I brought up sports because I know you know this stuff. I'm just saying what was reported because I remember doing a news story about the complaints of what was underhanded about the NBA. So
the Lakers complained because the NBA owned at that time they owned the Hornets, and they said that it was unfair that they get the Clippers wanted them and they share the same stadium, they're in the same city. And it wasn't fair to them. But the Clippers gave off a better package to the Hornets than what the Lakers were going to give up.
You know what? The business of selling professional athletes always kills me, so I can't really say too much about that.
That's a whole other conversation.
I know.
You brought that up, and breaking news is that Blake Griffin is out of the Olympics. He has a meniscus tear in his knee, same knee he hurt once before, and the biggest complaint from Mark Cuban, which I did agree, and I don't agree with him much, but Mark Cuban's been saying, you know, the NBA players, because the teams own them and they're paying so much money, they should not be allowed to play in the Olympics. because if they get hurt, that hurts their brand. Now, David Stern is the one who pushed that through because he was trying to build this brand of the NBA worldwide. Just a few weeks ago, the hypocrite David Stern was like, well, we shouldn't have our NBA players playing because now that the ratings are up and the revenue is up, now he wants to pull the players out. And now look what happened. Blake Griffin is hurt, and now this could hurt the Clippers season because he's going to be out probably October to November.
Oh,
so
yeah. And
who replaced him for the Olympics?
They put
Anthony Davis in, the rookie.
Now, interesting enough, the NBA did that to be more global, and they forced those professional athletes in there, and now they want to take them out because the owners want them out.
And if I was the owner and I'm investing in my team, and we're supposed to build a championship, I agree. Get some of those players from the ABA, the CBA, the NBL. You know, those players want to impress and go into the NBA anyway, but you're not going to come take my Dwayne Wade. And
well, let's have half
season,
and half.
I'm lost.
What did you say, Angel?
I said, let's have half and half. Let's have the NBA, the ABA, the brothers that played overseas. And I don't know, maybe in your contract you can sign, I don't know, some type of waiver or some type of agreement if you get hurt. Something, because I don't want to take away from, you know, the experience of the NBA players, but at the same time, I agree with you, Finesse. We have some players that play better than the NBA, some of the NBA players who will never get that recognition, so kind of let them have that limelight. So hopefully somebody can come to, you know, negotiate and come to a happy medium. So that would be really nice.
Because no NBA player is going to sign a waiver with that.
That's
and
right.
No agent is going to let their player sign that agreement.
Lose that money.
Right.
Nope, not
so
at all.
There's no way. I just wouldn't have my player play. I would just tell my players, you ain't playing.
Oh, now speaking of sports and Olympics, I know every now and then I will watch the other sports, but gymnastics, Gabby Douglas won at the Olympic trials. I don't know if you guys saw that story, but
I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Gabby Douglas, and they have another alternate that's black. Now, Gabby Douglas, I remember her going through trials and stuff last year and stuff, and she, you know, she was okay. But you know how commentators play their favorites in that kind of thing. And I was telling Kai last time on the show that that it was almost like watching The Price is Right back in the day when you see a black person come up out the audience. that is literally how I felt about Gabby Douglas at the Olympics. So I am watching gymnastics because that little girl she's a dark complexion black girl in gymnastics, and they have both of her parents there. They're separated. Of course, you know, they told their business. You know how commentators are.
Of course, right.
My father was in the military, so he left, and his mom, they told their business. But still, it wasn't.
Right.
You know how gymnastics is. They ship those little girls off to live with somebody else's family, and then you pay a lot of money, get them in camp and stuff. But this one girl came there and blew them out of the water. So I have to check that out. That has to be a big news story. So Gabby Douglas.
And there's somebody in the swimming, too. There's a black swimming. I don't know if it's male or female. But isn't that the case? Don't we always do that? You know, I only watch the golf when Tiger Woods is winning. He's playing. If he ain't playing, I ain't watching. I still root for the black contestant on The Price is Right. Or Family Feud is the perfect example. It's a black family versus a white family. And they know we're going to do that.
Yeah, I'm wrong for that.
All right, wait a minute. Do we need to bring Kathleen back off of that? Because we're about to lose control in a minute.
Steve Harvey is tearing that up now. I watch Family Feud now just to see how he will carry on.
Steve Harvey is a little too country for me, but okay. I do watch
it. Kathleen will agree with me. I was watching it the other day when the black family's on. Steve Harvey acts different when there's a black family on versus when it's a white family.
But he's extra. He's black folks.
He wants the black family to win the money. He gets a little more excited. He does.
No, I'm not sure he's cheering for him more than he makes fun of the black folks.
No, he's cheering for him.
Is he? Okay.
The one I saw today, the black family, he was a question. He's down to two strikes. and it was talking about what foreign language do had people said was sexy. They named French, Spanish, everything else. And this white man came out and said Swedish. And Steve Harvey's like laughing at you.
I'm laughing.
And sure enough, the answer came up Swedish. And if you saw the look on Steve Harvey's face,
like, what?
Now, okay. I have to tell this quick story. Now, with Syracuse, with SolarSyracuse.com, we actually do a networking event at National Grid, our power company here. And we do a family feud. And so when I do a survey, when we post them on Solar Syracuse, I make sure during Family Feud we say we surveyed 100 people on Soul of Syracuse, because your answers are different if you interview – if you're surveying 100 white folks, you have to think, what would white folks say when you play Family Feud? People always get that twisted when they play Family Feud, because they think of themselves as a community. And it's like, who would say Sweden? White folks would say Sweden. So,
yeah.
That's always, you know, funny to see.
Yeah, you can't ask white people a question. If you had half your money for your electric bill, do you pay it now?
Or do you pay half?
And then we always say half.
No, that's straight up Ebony family. He just put Ebony family food on that.
Don't act like if you got a little bit of money, you ain't going to pay your whole electric bill. I ain't the only one. You're going to pay half your bill. That's just the black folks in us. And we
Kathleen,
ask for an extension.
You can mute him whenever you want to and pull an emergency brake on the show. Go ahead.
I just want to jump back to Sweden for a minute. Because
okay.
If you remember that movie, Eddie Murphy, what was it, Trading Places, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Wasn't Jamie Lee Curtis, didn't they have a Swedish accent?
Yes. Well, how many people? I don't find that accent sexy. I never hear people talking Swedish.
She was Swedish for a minute on the train.
We will be syndicating this show to no other network this evening, because
you should have seen the expression on the black folks' face. They have said, we ain't named Spanish, we ain't named French, we ain't named Italian. What other language is it?
And just because of finesse, we're going to now run PSAs for the whole show.
Why are you better than Sweden?
I ain't hear nobody in school. They name all the kids. There's Italian, there's Spanish, there's French.
God.
Nobody don't offer no course Swedish.
Oh, because if you'd have said accents to me, I'd have been like a southern accent. Somebody, you know, I've been naming accents that I think are appealing. Hey, wait a minute. I'm Creole now. Watch my people. Just in case anybody's listening.
I don't understand why they didn't say Jamaican patois.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, you would be like,
what?
Sweetest.
Steve Harvey looked like he wanted to cuss when this white man said sweet. I'm like, Swedish? Ain't nobody talking no Swedish. And next
Steve
thing
Harvey
popped up, I was like, what?
Well, you know, Steve Harvey always looks like he wants to curse, especially when they do the bonus round stuff. And they're like, name a color of a fruit, and somebody will say, like, blue. And he'll be like, what the? You know, like, he would say, why didn't you say orange? Like he would literally lose at someone's answer. So Steve Harvey sometimes will do that.
Well, we're talking Steve Harvey. Do you folks know that he's getting his own talk show this fall?
No.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes.
What
getting
network?
His own talk.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably going to be in the
what
legal
network?
Probably going to
be.
Did they
take
network.
Up Bazin show? Is that over?
What show?
The Michael Bazin show. And Arsenio is coming back too.
Yes.
Yeah. To what?
Arsenio
show?
Arsenio's going to have a talk show.
I didn't see that.
No,
yeah.
Arsenio announced that he was actually on The View, and he went on another show. And once they saw him on there, he kept saying he wanted his show back. And the original owners of Arsenio, it was produced kind of Paramount, and I forgot, I think they were the distributors. They actually contacted him, and they're putting together another nighttime talk show for Arsenio.
And it probably won't be out until January. If they were smart, they would go to BET, and they'd say, look, you got to find a replacement for that heifer. This is your replacement.
You're listening to Kathleen. Be nice.
Kathleen, don't allow him to come back.
That was not nice.
Wait a minute, you get muted for half a minute.
If y'all knew the story about Monique and what she do here for Baltimore, what she do in the community, what she don't do in the community, how she treat the black folks here in the community, you would know.
But we still wouldn't call her that.
Okay, what can I call her?
Monique.
Can't say anything. Monique, her name, Monique.
Do any of you know Spanish?
We know Swedish.
All right, you know what?
She got you for this. Go, Kathleen.
And that's when she grabbed the reins back. You're now listening to Ask Kathleen. She has now turned the ship, and I just want to let you know. See, on that note, Finesse, doesn't that prove that we need to do black-on-black crime?
Yes, it does, because that was a black-on-black crime right there.
That was a black-on-black crime. And if you don't know, Finesse and I created it. Started off just a segment. Black-on-black crime is when you would make a comment or statement against a black person that you would never make against a white person. So when black people say stuff like, Obama's the worst president to ever there ever was, but they never said anything about George Bush, that's a black-on-black crime. You're only paying attention to him because he's black. So, so Monique's situation would have been a black-on-black crime, and Kathleen would have threw the flag on him on that one.
That would have been a black-on-black crime.
Oh, right, because you would have proved that it wasn't a black-on-black crime.
I'd have proved that it wasn't a black-on-black crime.
You know Kathleen's an attorney. I don't want to tell you. I want to bring you to court.
That's okay. Oh, she just pulled me over. To check my ID.
Angel, we're now going to be the people's court with Kathleen and Finesse as the defendant.
No problem.
Luckily, I don't have the theme music right now. You know what? I'm getting the theme music for Black on Black Crime. Matter of fact, I'm jotting that down. You and Kathleen are first up. So I will.
Judge Williams presiding.
No, you can't be the judge and jury on this with Kathleen, because I know you're gonna have to eat him up, and I can't wait for the closing arguments on this.
Hey!
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I play favoritism?
As much as I've been involved with the law, you know I know.
Hey, I don't think we really will go there.
Really, I was saying I don't know if that's good or bad. Just go. Keep over that.
I think this
will be the only court where I get to light up before I go in front of your
arm. Oh, you know what? On that note, we're going to start running really bad PSAs now. Like, you know what? Get outside and exercise. Smokey the Bear, Just Say No, all of that stuff. Don't listen to Finesse. He is committing a bad black-on-black crime segment on the show today. You're listening to Ask Kathleen. We just want to let you know. We will be back, and we will be on the program tearing up some other time. We're going to try to give Finesse a moment. And Finesse, didn't you need a moment? Because he's just about to light up on us.
Or
light up the airways. Not up like that. This is not that kind of show.
Anytime before 1 a.m.
Oh, no. All right. Well, you know, I just need to put that out there. And we're gonna have to do a game show or something just to get that out of the air. But you know, do you watch any of the? Because I don't watch game shows too much, but I never watched Let's Make a Deal. Now that we mentioned Steve Harvey with Wayne Brady, have you ever watched those?
Love it.
Everybody
has but me.
Yeah, I like Wayne Brady. I like the way they do Let's Make a Deal. It's actually pretty fun. I like it.
Now, is the game changed any?
A little.
Angel, is it? Okay.
Not a lot.
Okay, it's kind of done like it always has been done.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same format, but Wayne, and I can't think of the Caucasian man's name. his announcer. They just have funny ways and funny little skits that pretty much, you know, they just add a little extra flavor and spice to it.
Caucasian, Swedish, all these technical names.
Oh my gosh. Hey, you know what? We're gonna next time we're doing the show, we're all coming under alias names, because this is not gonna work for tomorrow. So we're just gonna everybody else is gonna change their name, but Finesse is still gonna be the same. I just wanna tell you that.
Hey, you know you got the KRS-One radio.
Oh, you know what? So, you know what? We'll work on a KRS-One theme song for the next time you come on. You're going to have some bad theme music when you come on. But, you know, at the same time, we're going to just kind of close up by just recapping. Top of the show, we just had to cover some things from the political season, political campaign stuff. Michael Jackson documentary. I didn't mention the Run DMC concert either. I guess we can close out on the Run DMC concert that's going to be happening in, what did I say it was going to be? Run DMC in, it's in Texas, I think. It's in Austin, November 2nd and through 4th, that Run DMC is performing with DMC's band and performing some new tracks off of his album. He has an album coming out. But Run DMC is going to play some of their classics. So hopefully this is a good experience.
I hope that's a daytime party in Texas.
It's like a what?
A daytime party in Texas.
You mean it's a daytime party?
You know how they do us in Texas.
All right, yeah. I was going to keep it light on Texas today.
Is it going to be at the university? Is that they're going to Austin? It must be at SMU.
No, it's at some place called it's Austin Auditorium. It's some fun fest in Texas. So I'm thinking they don't know what they're going to get, but they're about to get a really good show. because the promoter, the festival producer, his name is James Moody, said in a statement that we couldn't be more excited. The Run DMC is one of our favorite bands, blah, blah. I shouldn't say it that way. I'm sorry. Let me back up on that. So they appreciate the old schoolness of Run DMC, but they're not appreciating the flow of old Run DMC.
Kathleen needs to give out her number for the folks listening in Texas. They might need a few lawyers. You know how it goes down in Texas.
I know. Well, before they get my number, they just write this number down, folks. When you go to the Run DMC show in Austin, Texas, 911.
That's your new number?
You're not.
Hey, and for you black folks that are in Texas, just like they do the shade on the cars, check the tent. If you got too much tint on your skin, do not go to that concert.
Oh, no, Texas is no joke. I was at a Prince concert. Police stopped me coming out of a store after I put my drink on the counter. My cousin paid for it, so I took it off, walked out, and the guy stops me and says, "Did you pay for that?" I almost lost my mind. But, you know, my cousin goes, "If you'd have seen your New York license, you probably would have been locked up for a minute." So...
they thought about Minister Society. That's what they thought about. Minister Society. You fit the description.
We all fit the description. It's Kathleen.
Not me because I'm Caucasian and I speak Swedish.
And you're Republican.
You can pull out your Swedish ID if you want to, but I don't think it's gonna make it.
A Swedish song.
All right, well, I want to thank everyone for joining in on that note. Kathleen, you have some parting words you want to share?
I can't wait till you all come back again. It was so much fun. Thank you. there after Esprit Mint News. We can hang out on Ask Kathleen anytime.
No, we only have to bring Finesse back on a special edition of Black on Black Crime. But Angel, you're welcome anytime. We'll just start texting you the show ties. But Finesse, or he could tell you, but he's going to be in a little bit of trouble. He might get a timeout from Kathleen.
See how y'all do the Caucasian?
I appreciate y'all.
How you do the Caucasian? I'm telling Mitt. I'm telling Mitt Romney on y'all.
Anyway, we had, you guys were wonderful with the seriousness and the politicalness and how important it is to get out in November and vote, and then we ended on a light note. So I appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Good talk.
Hey, anytime, and make sure you join us next time. You know the number, area code 909-265-9189, Esprit Net News. Hey, area code 323-623, I forgot the number. Anywho, all right, check us out, SolarSyracuse.com. We got Finesse, Kathleen, Angel came in to join us. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for hanging, Angel. Look forward to seeing all you guys on the next show. All right? See you later.
Peace.
Night, everybody.
All right.